Listen to Brown Briefly, where less is more, more or less, coming to you live over KVSH 101.9 FM, Voice of Vashon, your island connection. Please make us part of your day. And be advised that our assertions and views, which can modestly be described as progressive persuasion, do not in any way reflect the opinions of KVSH or Voice of Vashon.
Welcome to our all-live Halloween edition of the Brown Briefly podcast, a weekly radio show on the Voice of Vashon, located on beautiful Vashon Island, rising above the waters of Puget Sound between Seattle and Tacoma in the state of Washington. That was the voice of Brian Brown, creator of the Brown Briefly. Brian started the Briefly and brought his high standards of intelligent discussion of current events laced with humor and empathy. Brian's motto was less is more, more or less, and he always offered more. Our Briefly panel includes Legal Beagle, consensus builder, former Pinkerton guard and Fulbright scholar Craven Craig Bellis. Our big board pilot and real life pilot, morning DJ and Texan, Tomb Man O'Brien.
Oh, that's good. Thank you.
Is it good?
Yeah, I like it.
All right. Avid defender of justice, mariner, cyclist, and top secret engineer, Kevin Bones.
Ooh, that's me.
Ooh. Historian, professor, party animal, and down under aficionado, Boose. Boose Holman. And here I am, ready to go. Part-time political, full-time shenanigans coordinator, Amy Slayer. Yeah, I have the voice to go with it today. All right. We have a host of folks on the show today to talk about Vashon's holiest holiday, our spooktacular extravaganza, Halloween. We are joined by Nicole Banducci, Executive Director at the Chamber of Commerce, Eric Wyatt, Recreation Manager of Vashon Park District, and Tara Wraithart from the Vashon Island Growers Association, VIGA Board of Directors. But before we jump in, let's take a moment to check in about what special things we've experienced this past week and what we each love most about Vashon Halloween, or maybe a favorite Vashon Halloween memory. Truman over there, or excuse me, Tomb Man. Do you have a special memory from this week, or
well,
a Halloween,
you know,
memory?
Just it's always just such great fun to come downtown and see all the merchants in their garb, and seeing the plethora of costumes and kids. I mean, it is one of the funnest events that the island does, and I mean, I really, really, really like it. And in terms of my week, I had to wear my airport commissioner hat all week. And we had a big project going on at the airport where we're putting in a French drain. And so that was a big deal for me. But that was my week, and that's my memory.
All right. Very good. I think you get a lot of upvotes on that love of seeing all the kids come uptown.
Oh, yeah. It's just so fun.
Yeah. Craven Craig, what's going on over there?
Well, I agree. I'll be out in front of the studio here in downtown, uptown Vashon with my wife and another board member, Mary Marin. She'll be with me, and we'll be passing out candy and seeing all the kids. Lynette and I have done this now for probably, I don't know, 5-6 years, and we have a great time doing it. In terms of a memory, I remember 1987 when we lived on the Burton Peninsula. We went out and walked around the peninsula and went to all the houses, and I thought that we have come to the right place. What a great community. It was fabulous. And now that this all downtown, it's just a wonderful experience. This week was full, and I won't go over everything. But Tuesday's poker game, I was the winner of the Texas Hold'em. I had to mention that. It's been a while.
Yeah, well, he was the first out last week.
That's right. I made up for it consistently at either end of the spectrum.
That's right.
Assert had a gathering at the Sportsman's Club where we were showing off all our gear. That was cool. We all had a show and tell, and we looked at everybody else's stuff and came up with a bunch of great ideas. The Coop on Saturday had Alchemy and King's Highway.
Whoa.
And everybody was in costume. That was great fun. Peter Ray took a bunch of photos in infrared, so we all look like ghosts. And then just Sunday night, I went to another costume party where, oh my gosh, people were dressed up like I couldn't believe. So I'm really looking forward to Thursday evening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's not just the kids. We get some pretty good adult costumes up here.
Yep. For sure.
Yep, absolutely. All right, Booze.
One of my favorite memories is playing off of Craig is back in the 70s and 80s, before downtown merchants began to sort of give out big candy and the chamber started to close the main street. I mean, the communities, because everything's supposed to spread out on Vashon, Ellisport, Docton, Burton became the sort of gathering places for all the kids on the island to trick or treat, because it's the only places where houses are close together, where you don't have to walk down these long, dark, scary driveways to get to the house to get your candy. And in Ellisport, Bob and Lorna, who live up on the hill, would set up big speakers on their porch and play spooky kinds of sounds, you know, kind of stuff going on. And that would boom through Ellisport, you know, all evening long. And the streets would be filled with kids walking from house to house. Well, what's fascinating is this year, a couple people with younger kids in Ellisport are reestablishing that tradition. So from 3 to 5 in Ellisport, you can come and trick-or-treat in the old way.
Yes.
And they're having anybody who wants to participate put a pumpkin on their porch so they know that's the house you can come trick-or-treat at. And then everybody at 5 o'clock will come uptown and walk through downtown and show off their costumes to the larger island. So I think it's interesting how things come full circle. So I'm very eager to see what Ellisport looks like on Halloween Eve.
Oh, yeah, I love that. I'm going to swing through. And that's awesome because, you know, the kids get out of school and they're ready to go,
yep.
Right? That is a perfect, like, sort of little bumper party for the kids in their costumes before they come on up. I love that. All right. Oh, yeah.
One more thing this week. Amy Dreher. Amy Slayer has been famous this week. I was driving along Friday afternoon, or Friday or morning, actually, listening to KNKX, you know, the Tacoma Public Radio station. And who is on the radio except our own Amy Dreher talking about Vashon ferries?
That's right, repping for the boats.
Yeah, right, for the whole region to hear. And then if you're a follower on Facebook about the debates over the community council, Amy had a very powerful sort of piece about, you know, the role of sort of participatory democracy in our culture and the fact that, yeah, if you want to have your voice heard, you need to show up. And
yeah.
So thank you, Amy.
That is the hardest work of our democracy, right? Showing up. Thanks, Boos. Thank you. All right, Mr. Bones, what have you got to say?
Hey, I want to follow up on that community council thing because folks who are on the membership list already are going to receive their ballot to vote for the new board members. What's happening is the election has been moved out just a little bit. So what that means is you now have an opportunity to get onboarded to be able to vote in that upcoming selection of new board members. So go to v-mcc.org, scroll down a little bit, you'll find the Join Your Community or Support Your Community, something like that, and get your name on the list.
So excellent. Then responsive democracy.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Hey, so Halloween memories. So I am on one of those really long dirt driveways on Vashon, and we moved here from Puyallup, where we were one of those communities that was a magnet for the kids to show up. And the first year we were like completely like, holy smokes, we couldn't believe, you know, how many folks were coming to our door. The next year I actually counted, there were like over 300 kids who stopped by. So
wow.
It was like, okay, we got to gear up for this. And coming to Vashon, we didn't know what to expect. And it's like, you know, we've been here 30 years and nobody has knocked a door. So, you know, those long dirt roads have that deterrent effect for sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I do also remember during Halloween's at home when I was a kid, my mom would dress up as a witch we had this, you had to kind of walk through a little courtyard to get to the front door. She rigged up a spider's web in the corner. And when you open the door, the thread would go through the web and down to the spider. So the spider would come up as the door opened. And, yeah. Nice. And then as you came in, you got your candy, then you turned around and in this little planter, there was like a ghost, which you didn't see until you turned around to leave. And so she had it all set up to be a pretty spooky endeavor.
Wow. Perfect.
Nice.
Awesome recollection of that.
In the spirit, in the spirit. All right. Mr. Eric, what about you? What happened this week? And do you have a favorite Halloween memory?
I think the greatest thing that happened to me this week was my boss let me take a vacation day. I actually slept 8 hours on Sunday night.
That's scary.
Are you listening, Elaine?
And I'm recovering just from getting too much sleep now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Favorite Halloween memory in the island. Before my children were 6 feet tall, one year I took them down to Gold Beach. And I had never really been to Gold Beach before, especially at Halloween. And those were the full-size candy bars those kids were getting.
Audible gasp.
And I was all over it. And I was so excited for them. But as we got back in the car to leave, they're like, they said, "Dad, next year, can we just go to town, please?"
Kids, yes. What are you going to do? So
that was one of my favorite Halloween stories on Vashon.
That's how good town is better than a full-size candy bar.
I think it is.
Wow. All right. All right, Nicole, how about you?
Hey, and actually, Eric, I am in Gold Beach, and it's a workout getting your candy. Like, you earn those full-size candy bars going up all the hills, and it's pitch dark. So, actually, this is our second year on Vashon. So, my favorite Halloween memory is last year actually getting to participate. We knew since 2018 that we wanted to move here, so I kind of stalked it on Instagram. I'm like, I can't wait to move there. And it over exceeded our expectations. So it was just amazing to see the people and the adults and everyone super into it. And then hauling our daughter back to Gold Beach for those full-size bars.
Nice.
We had to up our candy game. I found some good full-size ones to be able to play along with the others down there. So we'll be down there.
Whoa.
After Uptown, of course. This is the priority.
The post-party.
Yeah,
the full-size.
And we got our dog set up at Pampered Paws this year, so he's not going to lose his mind.
Nice. Nice. All right. Tara, let's hear from you.
And I'm not sure that she's going to be able to. We're not seeing her for some reason. But Tara, are you with us?
We've got you.
Wow. I wasn't expecting to be a part of this conversation. this week is a blur. I'm going to skip that part of the conversation, but probably my favorite Halloween memory on Vashon is always like the outrageous dance parties at Snapdragon, like after the street stuff settles down, just so much fun. And I feel like everyone's just like so ready to dance. And I think there's something about like the anonymity of like being in a costume that just like really lets people like let go on the dance floor. So that's my favorite.
Nice.
That's Halloween memory.
Nice. Yeah, that's a good one.
So, of course, I just thought of a favorite Halloween. I think I've told this before, but before we moved to the island, we were up on Capitol Hill. And there was a little neighborhood there where, you know, everyone, the kids could go around the neighborhood. And so we were going to a Halloween party. So my wife dressed in my uniform, my airline uniform, and I dressed in her outfit with the wig and wrecked the pantyhose. You know, I mean, the whole works. And so we're standing out on the sidewalk while Molly went up to the door. And she went up to this door, and this guy looked out, and he sees the two of us standing out there. And Molly sees it. He's looking, and she goes, "Oh, those are my parents." And he goes, "Oh," and she goes, yeah, my mom's dressed as my dad. My dad's dressed as my mom. And the guy goes, yeah, I hear that's going around.
Here, that's a trend catching on these days.
Of course, the two of us just howled laughing. You know, I thought it was pretty funny. All right, so that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, all right. So what did I do this week? I, speaking of Commissioner Week, got to fly over to Spokane for the Washington Firefighter Commissioners, or sorry, Washington Fire Commissioners Conference. It was a lot of legal education. I was probably in about 6 hours of legal education and a lot of cases to cite. Really, really interesting stuff, but really great to get together with some fellow fire commissioners. And, you know, what really jumped out, there were a few things that jumped out, but one of them was just really how committed these folks are to their communities. And that was really wonderful to see. I think for some of my favorite Vashon Halloween memories, I do remember when they just started doing the trick-or-treats uptown. I was a kid, and they didn't close the street. So that was exciting. That was a really, really good addition. sharp shooting there, Vashon. I think mine is tied between, I loved the Burton drive-thru, the Camp Burton, when they did the drive-thru. I don't know if they're doing that again. I apologize for my lack of knowledge. But, you know, during COVID, Camp Burton went all out and they did this awesome drive-thru. And you drove through Camp Burton and there was like, you know, like murder scenes. And they had the big, like, you know, the fire truck out there blowing smog and ambulances. And I mean, they just really pitched in, you know, during COVID to say, you know, we can't do this thing, but here's what the community can do. And it was just, you know, it was campy, but it was kind of fun. And it was really heartwarming. But I think my favorite costume, I have to give it up for the stackable washer dryer. Probably the most inside Facebook Vashon joke that ever happened. But to turn that costume around, West/Danny, in the time that that you and Laura did that, I was humbled and proud to be an Islander. All right, so today is a significant day. We are 2 days from Halloween Uptown on October 31st. It does, by the way, always happen on the 31st, no matter which day of the week that it is. We are 7 days to one of the things that might be the most terrifying terrifying moments of our collective lives, no matter which side of the divide you live on. 7 days until the presidential election on November 5th. Get those ballots in. You still have time to drop them off at our convenience station at the Vashon Library. And 83 days until the inauguration of the 47th President of the United States. All right. What is remarkable about today? For all you childless cat lady voters out there, it is National Cat Day in the United States. So do not forget to don your witch uniform when you cast your ballots, ladies. And maintaining our weirdly combative relationship with our former colonial overlords, in contrast, it is Feed the Birds Day in the United Kingdom. Cats and birds. All right. Today in history, we're going to take a little bit of an allowance and, in the spirit of the show, look at notable events from October 31st past. So what has happened on Hallows Eve's past? All right. We know that the holiday is a revered cultural event shared not just by Vashon, but of course, queers and drag queens everywhere. It is a national holiday for the gays, Halloween. So a memory for them, the psychological thriller Whatever Happened to Baby Jane? A late career triumph for both Betty Davis and Joan Crawford, again, our icons, was released in American theaters on October 31st, 1962. All right. It is not just a scary memory, given today's political climate. On October 31st, 1922, Benito Mussolini became the Prime Minister of Italy. He was the first of Europe's fascist dictators in the 20th century. And dealing a terrifying blow to the patriarchy, Juliet Gordon Law, founder of the Girl Scouts of the United States of America, was born in Savannah, Georgia, on October 31st, 1860. All right. Today, we welcome three guests who are helping to put the hallowed traditions into Halloween this year on the island. Nicole Banducci, Executive Director at the Chamber of Commerce, Eric Wyatt, Recreation Manager at the Vashon Park District, and Tara Wraithart from the Vashon Island Growers Association Board of Directors. And we are so happy to have you all on. I do apologize for my voice today, everyone. I was too much in the spirit and carousing on Saturday night outside at a party with a bonfire, and my upper respiratory system has not yet forgiven me for that indiscretion.
Yeah. The bounce back's not the same anymore.
It is not. Yeah. All the hot tea in the world cannot put my voice back together. Right.
We're not going there. We don't
recover quite as quickly as we used to. You probably wondered when we were going to get to you, but this is the part. And we typically start out by talking or asking you to tell us a little bit about yourselves, just as an introduction. How you ended up on Vashon is always one of the classic questions. And what do you do, when you're not doing your work? Because we'll be talking about your work here in a moment. Who wants to start? Nicole?
Yeah, I'll jump in. What brought us to Vashon? So my husband's Brian. He's actually he works at the high school, and he's the football coach there. And we have a 10-year-old with us. We have a 10-year-old with us here on the island. And we're from Southern California, and we wanted to find an ideal place to raise her and us to be able to retire. And Vashon was one of the few places that actually checked all the boxes and felt like home. So we're thrilled to be here. Outside of work, I'm obsessed with food and wine and cider and that whole thing. So I'm always dabbling around with fun new recipes and stuff. And thankfully, my daughter Cora loves to eat and try things and tell me what's right and what's wrong with what I've done. So that's a continual enjoyment. So, and we just love getting out and enjoying Vashon. Like any chance we have to hit a restaurant or, thing to do, you can't be bored here, which is something we love. And, you know, with her soccer and theater and Ariel over at O Space, it's a blast. So we're super thrilled to be here.
That's great. That's wonderful. Let me take the women first. Nicole, if you're still with us, can you answer? I mean, not Nicole, I'm sorry. Tara, if you could tell us how you got to Vashon and what you're up to when you're not working, if there is such a thing. Any luck there? There we go.
There she goes.
I wasn't expecting to reckon with my identity.
We can all see you.
Yeah, I'm Tara. I'm the director of Viga. I'm also, a software developer. In my free time, I care a lot about... Oh my God, this is the worst thing that's ever happened to me.
Has that ever been said before on the Brown Review? I think it might have.
This is the worst thing that's ever happened to you. I want to be in your shoes.
Right, you live a very charmed life if this is the worst thing that's ever happened. Yeah, we ended up on Vashon. I mean, just like a matter of timing. I don't know. How does anyone end up on Vashon? Just kind of like a magical string of events that get you here. We had friends out here who needed tenants, and we kind of moved outside unseen. We've been here for maybe 7 years. I just care a lot about, I'm not a farmer, but I just care a lot about food and food systems and food security and like resiliency, especially like in the face of what could be more and more like unstable infrastructure. My spare time, I like to like roller skate. I like to like read and listen to music and hang out with my friends.
That's great.
Yeah, sounds pretty islandy to me.
Yeah, it sounds like, and I like people. That's it sounds like you fell in the right job. That's for sure. Eric.
In 1997, we had a friend. I was living in Seattle at the time. We had a friend who said, "You've got to come check out this place for rent." And it was down on Manzanita Beach. It was this old 1900s farmhouse type house. Definitely very drafty, but it was right on the Sound. But it was so fogged in that day, we couldn't see a darn thing. I mean, we had no idea it was there. And I was really into it. I was like, we should really think about this. And my partner was like, no, it's pretty far away. So we both worked in Seattle at the time. I convinced her to come back the next weekend and look at this place again. So we're out on the front porch on the Sound. But that day there was no fog. And we looked to our right, and there, bigger than God, was Mount Rainier.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so that's how I got onto the island. And I've kind of been sticking around ever since. As far as my job, I started out as caretaker at Point Robinson. I'd been a paralegal at the time in Seattle. Ended up as caretaker down at the lighthouse. And from there, I moved into maintenance. And then I became the lodgings manager. And the recreation manager position opened up. And like, well, can I give it a try? So here I am recreating with you all.
That's great.
Excellent.
And you'll run into the captain here in a little while toward the end.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks for the foghorn there.
Yeah. you know, we asked our guest last week about, you know, when did you come to the island? And she said, well, I was born here. You know, it's like, oh, okay. So here's a lifetime resident. It's pretty much like you, Amy. I mean.
Close. I'm close.
Yeah. You were, how old were you? Like
five.
Five. Yeah. That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
Well, our journeyman rep, Nikki Wilkes, born on the island.
Born on the island.
Not. I mean, that didn't go to a hospital off island. Was born
right
here
on the island. Wow, that's pretty cool. So, Nicole, what involvement does the chamber have in the whole Halloween event that happens here, and what can we expect?
Exactly, and I love all of the cool stuff that happens with all the businesses and stuff. The chamber's activity is the administration of Halloween, so to speak, and getting, you know, months ago we submitted the permits for the road closure. Following up on the permits for the road closure, because there's nothing scarier than, you know, October hitting and you haven't gotten the final paperwork back yet. So chasing them down and getting everything we need, and just the logistics of Melissa Schaefer's team is helping stage all the signage, because it's all the way from Ober Park to the theater, and having the detour signs. They're helping us out and getting that staged, and then we have folks pulling the barricades at time. And I actually have a stack of flyers right here. I'm walking around uptown to all the businesses with details in terms of making sure they know exactly when the barricades are hitting. Uptown is open from 5 to 8 officially for all of our little goblins to roam around and have a blast. After that, as Tara mentioned, I know there's a lot of cool stuff that happens uptown, but we'll be pulling the barriers right after 8 o'clock. So we can get ourselves to Gold Beach and other cool areas for trick-or-treating as well. But yeah, it's super fun, especially last year being just a resident and not, I just started with the chamber, you know, within the last several months here. So it's fun to help make it happen so that everyone else can have the party and really enjoy it. Mm-hmm. We're super excited.
Great.
Yeah, so Tara, can you tell us what Vig is doing to sort of haunt the village green and to turn that into a part of the Halloween celebration?
Yeah. Well, this summer, the board had the idea when we were getting such an influx of tomatoes from the end of the year, little like hot spell there, to make just like a vat of tomato soup, and do grilled cheese sandwiches to sell at the Village Green for Halloween. You know, there's not a lot of just like grab and go, like savory kinds of foods. And we thought it would be a fun way to like highlight local produce, as all of the tomatoes are from different farms on the island. And we'll also be handing out some of our freeze-dried fruit, local fruit. This summer we freeze-dried like 500 pounds of local produce on the island, and we put them into little treat bags for kids in lieu of candy. They're very darling, and we'll also probably be wearing some fun costumes. The board hasn't got a theme picked out, but I have faith that we'll pull something together.
But you still have 3 days, come on.
Yeah, exactly. Two and a half.
Yeah. Yeah, grilled cheese and tomato soup.
Oh, I know what I'm having.
I'm ready for that now.
One of my favorites.
So I have a really dumb question. How do you freeze dry fruit? I've always wondered that. Do you actually freeze it? What do you do?
Yeah, well, it's a specific machine that does the freeze-drying process. I'm not a scientist, so I don't know exactly what happens, but like the food is like deeply frozen before the water is extracted from it, and so that's what allows it to like keep its like
all this flavor
in a way that like just dehydrating food doesn't. And because it like extracts all of the moisture, if it's stored right, you can, you know, keep it for up to like 20 years.
Wow.
I mean, obviously that's like, you need to have the proper packaging and the storage, but, and like also because of the process, because there's no like cooking involved in the same way that maybe other preservation methods have, it preserves like 90% or more than 90% of the nutritional value of the food.
Well, thank you. That helps.
That's part of how grandma's old jar of freeze-dried coffee that she had for so many years stayed somewhat decent. Same process.
All right. And it's excellent to hear so many different perspectives about what people are doing. So Eric at the Parks Department, you got this canvas over park, right, to paint whatever crazy spooktacular thing you want to do. What are your plans for this year? How are they shaping up?
Well, that all came about from a volunteer named Miranda Murphy, and she's just fabulous to work with. She's really been transforming over park into a spooky hangout space for the last several years. And we didn't realize just how much creepy decor she has she and her family collected. I guess if the Griswold family from National Lampoon celebrated Halloween, their house would probably look like that.
Yeah.
So Miranda will be helping us set all that up again this year. And we've also been doing the Boo Bash inside the recreation room at Ober Park. And it's taken various iterations over the years. But this year, we're excited to add two free showings of the classic Munsters TV episodes, Pike's Peak and Munster Masquerade. And we'll have beanbag chairs available for people if they want to find a cozy spot to just chill and thrill for a while.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and I think the weather might hold out for us. Mm-hmm. I think we've got a little window in the weather and our, like, spooktacular weather for sure.
Yeah,
right.
I was just looking at that, and it seems like there's like a 15% chance of rain during those hours of trick or treating. So I got my fingers crossed. I think we'll be dry.
Yeah.
And since moving here, I tend to look at the how many actual like 0.015 inches of rain that it's going to hit. I've started leveraging on that too. So fingers crossed, it should be good.
Mm-hmm. We'll get like sort of a spooky mist.
Yeah, it'll maybe spit on you.
Maybe, yeah. And then, and I know, what else is going on uptown, Nicole? I know there's a couple other things, right, happening?
Yeah, so Vashon Villages is going to be, so the road closure goes all the way to Ober Park, so it's sweet for the stuff happening with the Parks District. Vash Honk, which is a newer band group on the island, I'm super excited. They've been practicing. Actually, they have some Munster songs in their repertoire. They're actually reaching out to the Parks District in terms of timing on that. So they're going to be performing up there. There's always like Pandora's always has their super cool walkthrough Halloween shindig and a lot of other areas uptown. And John L. Scott is also sponsoring Lauren Sinner and the Saints as well at the four-way.
Mm-hmm.
And as always at Cafe Luna, there's the photography sessions that happen. So kind of any which way you turn up and down Vashon Highway, it's going to be going off, and I'm super excited.
Excellent.
If I may, the honk group is spectacular. They are spooktacular. They with the trombones and the trumpets. I was lucky enough to hear them over here in Docton a couple weeks ago at one of our friends' birthday parties, and they blew me away. No pun intended. Well, actually, the pun was intended.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like great fun.
Yeah, super exciting. One thing I forgot to mention, I met with Barb from the Presbyterian Church yesterday, and she and Reinforce, they'll be open with restrooms, which is super important for kiddos and the rest of us. So that's a good resource as well.
There are also portable units at Vashon Park District's Ober Park.
Excellent, excellent. And Tara, real quick, I didn't ask, but are you doing the soup and sandwiches during the whole time, or is there a window folks need to get into?
The whole time, but until we sell out, really. Yeah. But we're also going to have a beverage garden. I've been making some apple shrubs to serve. We'll have some other like craft cocktails made from local island fruit, and also some like non-alcoholic options as well.
Excellent. Now, I know there was the spooky haunted Halloween tour uptown. Chris Austin did that this past Sunday evening, and I was bummed to miss that. Mr. Booze,
yes.
Can you tell us some stories of haunted Vashon past?
Well, yeah. I mean, the tour it was on Sunday, and they sold out the first tour, so they did a second tour, and it sort of was a walk through downtown Vashon with characters in costume, telling kind of spooky stories about Vashon. And, I hate to give away all the stories, otherwise you won't go on the tour next year.
So. I still will. Come on.
But, there's stories. So there were, ghost stories, and, there's a lot of ghost stories on Vashon. Sometimes pop on the old Vashon pictures and stories and just search for ghosts. Lots of ghost stories on Vashon. We had Jim Roy was dressed up as a logger. We had just lots of different characters. And so the tour would stop at a place and, a character would sort of tell a spooky story and that kind of thing. So, but also lots of Vashon sort of traditions at Halloween that no longer exist. One of the things that would happen is every year for a period of time in the late 40s into the early 60s, almost every year, a group of high school kids would take apart some kind of car and carry it up to the top of the water tower. Now, most people don't remember, but right where the water district is, there was a water tower to provide water pressure for District 19. Well, the tower is, 60 feet tall or something like that. They would carry piece by piece these cars or old trucks up to the top of it, reassemble it. And so you'd wake up Halloween morning, and here'd be this vehicle sitting on top of the water tower.
Wow.
In Vashon. And then all the kind of things that before the uptown sort of started to close down. And, it would be interesting if anybody knows. I cannot find when the first year that the chamber actually closed Main Street to do that. Before that, stores would decorate and all that kind of thing, and people would dress up in costumes, and stores would give away candy. But that was just during the day, and particularly in the afternoon after kids got out of school. But that formal sort of closing the Main Street, nobody can remember quite exactly when it happened. Seems to have been in the late 90s.
Yeah.
But if anybody knows, let me know. But one of my favorite Halloween stories is about an older guy named Peterson who lived up on the hill above the Portage store. And every Halloween, the kids in the neighborhood would come over and tip over his outhouse, which was a classic Halloween sort of
tradition.
In Texas, we tipped over cows.
Right? Exactly, yeah.
But on Vashon, they tipped over outhouses. So he had a two-holer. So he had a deluxe, outhouse. And finally, one year, he got so tired of that happening. He went out in the evening just before it got dark, and he took the outhouse and he drug it about 10 feet away from the pit that it was sitting
in. Oh, no.
So you can imagine what happened when this group of boys came over to tip up his outhouse. He was sitting in this home and he heard this. And he walked out with his flashlight. And there's three guys, sort of chest deep in the pit of the outhouse. So you got to be careful what you do on Halloween.
Right? No kidding.
I bet that was their last year doing that.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
That is right. That is
That's
right.
That's classic. Yeah. That's classic.
Yeah. And Bruce, I have a sort of a Snopes question for you of spooky things Vashon past. Have you heard of this West Side Mangler? that was supposed to be active in the 80s. I've heard legend of this. Was it true?
I have not. That's interesting. The West Side Mangler. Yeah. What was he mangling?
So the
animals,
story,
pets, right? Well, human beings.
The rumor goes that he would sort of create, you know, either like shove a log into the road right down on Cedarhurst West Side, right? Get a car to stop, and then see who got out of the car. If it was someone that might be vulnerable, that there was something. There was an attack, I guess, as it were. And I've just heard this around and about, and I was wondering if you had heard this legendary story.
I'll look back through the newspapers and see what I can find. I've never run into that before.
Yeah.
There is, of course, the story of the Ellisport ghost.
Oh.
That is a... Marshall Soule actually made one of his paddles. I don't know if you know Marshall Soule and all his... Marshall Soule was an artist here on the island. Really fascinating guy, sort of World War II veteran. And he developed pyrography, which is sort of wood burning, as an art form. And he did these big panels, and he did what he called paddles. And actually, they were the insides of the K2 skis. His wife worked at K2. Oh. And she would bring home all these blanks that were defective, you know, and then he would carve them up into sort of paddles, and then he would decorate them, you know, with stories and all this stuff. And, I mean, he was kind of a classic ADHD kind of guy. It's sort of like you look at his work and every solid inch, front, back, sides, top, bottom, covered. I mean, it was just covered with all kinds of things. But he has the story of the Ellisport ghost, which is a story of this old seafarer who, any time a young couple would have a fight, the ghost of Ellisport would walk through downtown Ellisport, and he'd be dressed in his long sort of Gloucester sort of jacket. He'd have this long cap on with a big back on it and his high boots, and he'd walk through carrying his light, and he'd walk down through Ellisport down to where the bus stop now is, or where Crow Beach is, and he'd wait for the stagecoach to come pick him up to take him up to Vashon Town.
Wow.
And it was sort of, and the story begins, it was a dark and stormy night. The wind was blowing across Tramp Harbor. The rain was blowing sideways. The thunder was crashing. The lightning was flashing, and the ghost of Ellisport came walking through downtown Ellisport.
Wow, the ghost of Ellisport. So wait, Ellisport was an individual. It's not Ellisport?
No, Ellisport, the community.
Yes. Okay.
But so he was the ghost.
He was the ghost of Ellisport, not the ghost of, like, Mr. Ellisport.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Let's keep that straight.
Yeah.
Our own Ichabod Crane.
So, you know, I read recently, well, not recently, in the last year or two, about a high school history class. And Bruce, this might be something interesting for you to maybe pursue here on Vashon. But what this history teacher did was that he went to the local cemetery. He took his class out to the cemetery, and he told them, each of you needs to pick a person. I mean, this is a very old cemetery, obviously. He said, each of you are to pick a person in this cemetery. And your task for the whole year is to research that person. And at the end of the course, the kids would stand by that tombstone dressed as the person and recite the history of that person. And I thought, wow, what a wonderful experience for those kids. Would that be something cool to do here on Vashon? I mean, have them go to the Vashon Cemetery?
Yeah, very cool to do. And if you've never been to the Vashon Cemetery, I really suggest sometime you go and just walk through, and you'll see these names. And, I mean, the Vashon Cemetery started in the 1890s, as a cemetery district, and it's been there for a long time. And you go through certain areas, and you'll find whole families, multi-generational families. There's an area where most of the Japanese-American families are. The veterans, the Vashon veterans, you know, particularly Memorial Day, Veterans Day, the flags by every...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's just really fascinating. And then in sort of the middle of the cemetery, down toward the west end, is the obelisk, which was installed in the early 1920s. as a memorial for World War One veterans. And then, of course, they added the Spanish-American War. They added World War II. They added the Korean War, Vietnam War, the Gulf War. And so now it's a memorial for all the veterans on Vashon Island.
Wow.
But it's fascinating to just see the stories. And one of the most poignant things, of course, is you see these graves where a child lived for 3 months or something like that.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, in about 2004, the Puyallup tribe with some folks on Vashon actually identified the grave of Lucy Durand, who is in the mural at Chautauqua Elementary School, and installed a headstone for Lucy Durand. And when they installed the ceremony, the gravestone, you know, they had a ceremony. They had dancing and singing and drumming. And amazingly, during that ceremony, at the very beginning, two eagles came and flew above the cemetery, circled three times, and then took off.
Whoa.
I mean, that's just very spiritual kind of stuff.
You know, that actually happened with my brother's internment. An eagle came and flew very low over the cemetery. Everybody was like, ooh. And by the way, this in Port Orchard, you're speaking of that, there is a section in the Port Orchard Cemetery that's actually Civil War veterans. There was a number of Civil War veterans came to Port Orchard after the war and settled there. And they were buried there.
Yeah, same thing on Vashon. There was a Grand Army of the Republic post here on Vashon, the Henry Sickles post. You know, and there was a woman's auxiliary post, and there was a son of Civil War's veterans post on Vashon Island.
Okay,
so it's when you look through the census records, particularly in that late 19th century, you find a lot of Civil War veterans on Vashon, but they're all from the Union side.
Oh, yeah.
There are very few Confederate veterans that came to Vashon. Whereas you take a place like Darrington up in the Cascades, you know, that became a gathering place for Confederate veterans.
Really?
Because they, particularly from Tennessee and North Georgia, North Carolina, because they had mining skills, and Darrington was a mining town. And so you had this influx of miners who were Confederate veterans. And, of course, in Darrington, you know, if you're a Union veteran, you weren't particularly welcome.
Yeah, I'll bet.
And on Vashon, if you were a Confederate veteran.
You probably weren't very welcome, exactly. Were you?
Isn't
that fascinating? Yeah.
Well, definitely a visit to the cemetery among a spooky thing to do this Halloween. And shout out to Mr. Mark Buska for being an amazing caretaker of our cemetery.
I have one more cemetery story for you. This was many years ago. My grandmother wanted to visit this little cemetery in a little tiny town in West Texas because she was looking for a distant relative or something. So my whole family spread out through the cemetery and was looking for this particular grave. And we would hear laughter coming from various places around the cemetery. And people would be reading these headstones. And one of them was Mr. Jack Frost, you know, he died in the winter of blah, 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 you know, things like that. But probably the one that we all laughed at the most, there were a series of three identical, actually four identical, like spires, headstones, and three small ones and one large one. And if you look at this, the first of the small one, it was Mrs. John Jones, Betsy, the date, you know, the end date. Gone but not forgotten. You come to the next one, Mrs. John Jones, Martha, and the date a couple of years later, gone but not forgotten. Anyway, each one of those was that way, and the big one was Mr. John Jones, and the date that he died. We were howling, laughing. I mean, it's one of those, gone but not forgotten, each one of those.
It's amazing how just a little bit of information can tell a big story.
Yes, indeed.
All right. So as we kind of were moving towards a close here, I'd love to hear from each of you, Nicole, Eric, and Tara, what your organizations have coming up through the rest of the year. What do we need to know as we plan to go into the holiday season and start celebrating? Nicole, I know the Chamber's got a lot coming up.
Yes, and we're actually we've had three meetings so far in Winterfest. So we're working on up in the ante on the lights on the tree, making sure the parade's running smoothly. We actually talked about Vash Honk earlier. I've reached out to Matt in terms of getting them in the parade. So that's one of our next big kind of road closure event things that are kind of coming on. So we're excited about that.
And what's the date?
That's Saturday, December 7th. Oh. And the parade starts around 5 p.m. and ends at the Presbyterian Church about 5:30 p.m. We're going to have Santa and his Mrs. Claus and the tree lighting. And then also we're going to be working with a lot of the uptown businesses to include like more festivity and what they're going to be doing. And the Vashon Theater will be having their Grinch movie again and photos with the Grinch and all of that. So there's a lot of really cool things. And that's leading into Santa's Cottage as well, which is going to be open on following weekends as well. So Super excited about that.
And I really want to thank Betty Edwards, or yes, Betty Little House, as many of us know her. Her dedication isn't even the right word, ownership in such a generous way of Santa's Cottage, and just her continual caretaking of it. She keeps an eye on it. She keeps it maintained through like donations from so many community members that she, you know, she just rounds those folks up. There's been a few incidents with the cottage over the past year with folks vandalizing it, which, I mean, that's just right on the naughty list, man. Dude, come on. Right.
And we actually had someone just re-roof the cottage this past week. And I don't want to mention names because I'm not certain if the donor wants to stay anonymous, but it has a whole new roof on it as well. So we're excited.
Great. Yeah. And that is that. I mean, just Christmas uptown. I think Betty really carried the water on that one. And so such heartfelt gratitude for her and for the letters to Santa as we're talking about that. I just want to take a minute to thank her. All right, Tara, we are definitely coming to the end of the growing season, I know, if we're not already there. But does Vega have anything coming up through the end of the year?
We will be at the, I think, is it called Jingle Bash?
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, we'll be there. We'll be selling wreaths and also probably some other like locally grown products like honey, maybe like some shoulder crops like squash or things like that. And then we have our annual meeting for our growers and members. But that's all. Yeah, the season's coming to an end, so we're ready to take a break after a really busy summer.
And the Jingle Bash, that's on November 30th. Am I right, at the high school?
Yeah. The whatever that Saturday is after Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's a good don't miss. It reminds me of the Soroptimist Holly Days Bazaar that used to go on down a couple places, but the VFW, I remember it being down there. That was a lot of fun. All right.
And real fast, actually, she mentioned her wreaths. I forgot to mention, we do have garland sales up right now for uptown businesses, installation by Schaefer. Includes the garland and the lights, and then also unlit garland to be delivered. And this year we opened up, if there's residents that want garland as well, we have some residential sales available, and you can just go to the vashonchamber.com to see the link for that.
Cool. And Missy and the crew dropped that off, right?
For not their home. Yeah. The home we're going to have pickup.
Yeah. Okay.
But drop off will be for the businesses.
Okay. Okay. So you can come grab a few feet of garland.
Yeah. Do we know when the candy cans go up?
You know what? We don't have an exact date yet. However, all the right people are in gear. It's super cool. They get brought out of our storage area. The Eagles go through and make sure all the lights are working. We've already contacted Ace Hardware to be on board and ready to have some new lights. And then PSC gets those put up. But again, Missy Schaefer and her crew help out with that a lot too. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited. That's one of my favorite historical
aspects. Candy canes. I know. I'm still waiting. I never ever suggest anything that makes work for someone. But if ever there is a sponsor a cane fundraiser, I want Weird Cane. You know, the dubbed Weird Cane, the one that's he or she is just not quite right. Just like the arc isn't there anymore.
Special Cane.
Weird Cane. So, and you know, who knows where Weird Cane will be hung this year. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm guessing at Amy's house.
There may or may not be a candy cane that appears at the Eagles that lasts through the winter. I don't know. Couldn't say about that. All right, Eric, what has the Parks Department got coming up the rest of the year?
Park District has coming up the next big event we're going to have is in December. We're going to be showing a free showing of A Christmas Story at the movie theater. And that is a draw to promote the open house we do at Point Robinson every year. And it's we hand out candy canes, and we announce that Santa will be down at the lighthouse then that coming Sunday. And this year, instead of just opening quarters A, we're opening up both houses for people to come take a look and see it, and maybe think about staying with us.
Yeah, absolutely. We had the great fortune a few years ago. Well, a few years ago, it was like 10 years ago now, of staying down at the lighthouse. And, you know, even if you do live on the island, no matter where you live on the island, I would encourage you, if you can, to grab a night or two or a weekend at the lighthouse. There is just nothing like it. There's nowhere on the island that is like staying at the lighthouse.
Yeah. And what is the date again of the open house?
It's the first Sunday, I believe, in December. It's a great event. Just come check it out. Captain Wubald always has his very famous chili, and the other volunteers, the keepers of Point Robinson, there'll be lots of treats and goodies for everybody to eat. So come visit us.
All right. And since Captain Wubald is here, we can ask him, does your chili include beans or not?
It does.
It does. Controversial, Truman?
Negative. There's nothing controversial about Captain Joe's chili, I'm telling you right now. You just get in line because you don't want to miss out.
All right.
Get in line first.
All right. So the first weekend of December is where it's at for our holidays. All right. We are getting ready to wrap up here. And just want to remind folks, Nicole, can you give us those closures and dates again for Halloween Uptown?
Yeah. Halloween is this Thursday, the 31st. The official trick-or-treating closure is 5 to 8 p.m., and the closures begin at Ober Park and come all the way to Vashon Theater, with then the kind of side routes also being blocked off for safety. Mm-hmm. And to give Uptown businesses a chance to kind of get rolling, we're going to start setting the closures up a little sooner. But the official come and traipse up and down downtown is 5 to 8.
Okay, great. And anyone have a costume they want to share? Nope.
Captain Joe, just a question. Is the open house December 1st or December 8th?
It is December 8th.
8th. Okay, that's what I wanted to know.
We always have it on the first Sunday in December. Yeah. The first Sunday in December comes this year on the first of December.
Yeah.
And it is so close aboard to Thanksgiving that we elected to have it this year.
On the second Sunday.
Only this year.
Okay.
On what is technically the second weekend in December.
Okay.
So it's the 8th of December.
8th of December.
Captain Joe's chili will be there with beans.
With beans.
With beans.
Captain Joe's chili with beans.
Made with little chunks of steak.
There you go.
Oh.
There you go. Yeah, me too.
Ground beef.
All right.
So lightning round here. Kevin, I just want to check in with you one more time there online. Costume or not this year?
I saw a really scary costume when I was coming across on the costume party get out the vote thing that we did over on the Triangle Route. I'm inspired. It was like vampire-ish thing. I have to look into that.
All right. And Tara online there, you are going to be dishing out some great food. And have you decided costume or not?
I mean, I'm going to wear a costume.
Uh-huh. And Mr. Craven Craig, you got a costume lined up?
We never wear costumes at our house.
Yeah.
Well, that's not exactly true. I will be wearing, my wife and I will be wearing costumes. My favorite costume, and like Tara just said earlier, thing about costumes, it's time out. It's time out for everybody.
Yeah.
And you can drop your traditional roles and act different if you want to. And one time I had my face hanging out, but nobody recognized me because I shaved off my beard and put on a little makeup and stuff. And the people I worked with, who is that? Fascinating.
Yeah. All right. We are lightning round. Boos?
Oh, of course, I'll be in costume. I tend to be a wizard. That's always a great costume.
Yeah. All right, Nicole?
Well, right in line with that, Bruce, I'm a witch. So
very good. Well, Eric? Planned.
I will likely be hollowing out a pumpkin and putting it on my head.
Oh. Wow.
And regretting it the next day.
Yeah, fine. My costume is always an angry lesbian and a tomb man.
Well, listen, you know, my good friend Craig, this guy always blows it right out of the park. I mean, he is beyond the pale. And if I come downtown in any kind of costume, I'm going to look like a fool standing next to this guy. So I just come down straight, you know, just like my old jeans and, you know, that's it. So.
Yep. That's a costume in its own right.
There it is.
All right. Well, next week is, of course, Election Day, and we will have representatives from the 2109 campaign, 2124 campaign, hopefully the 2117 campaign, and maybe a few other special guests, but we will be all about the election and democracy next Tuesday. So for Bruce, Truman, Craig, Kevin, Eric, Nicole, and Tara, I am Amy, wishing you a fond farewell for the week. Come back uptown on Thursday and come back here next week to KVSH 1019, voiceofvashon.org, for more quote-unquote intelligent discussion of happenings on Vashon and around the world.